Is Jesus the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? This is the question that kept John the Baptist up at night in his prison cell, which makes sense. His whole life was organized around this question. Even without Luke's lovely backstory for John as the prophesied preparer of the way, it is clear that this is who he understood himself to be. Whether it had come first to his father or to John himself as an adult, John had clearly experienced a demanding call from God to carry a very particular message to God's people. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The Messiah is coming. And he had done as God asked, coming out of the wilderness with this good but challenging news. He had baptized untold numbers of people, purifying and preparing them for what was to come. He had confronted those in power about their bad behavior right up to King Herod himself, and now he was paying the price for his commitment to the message. And the person he had thought was the one they were waiting for is wandering about, talking about forgiveness, and hanging out with all manner of sinners. And so he sends his disciples out to ask the man himself in plain, simple language. Are you the one who is to come? Or are we to wait for another? Now, to us, it may seem like a surprising question, even allowing for Jesus' behavior. After all, isn't this the same John who made such a fuss about baptizing Jesus? Did John not see the heavens open and the dove descend, and the voice from heaven declare, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased"? So why is he asking questions now? Let's be a little generous with John, though. He does not, in fact, have all the information we have. He's living the story in real time. He doesn't have the condensed book version where all the irrelevant bits have been removed and only the good bits saved. And he doesn't know the ending of the story. He does not yet know the evidence of Jesus' own commitment to his ministry or the evidence of God's power over the forces of evil and death that would attempt to stop Jesus. John is not, in fact, a follower of Jesus as such. He has his own call from God, his own commitments to God, to his own disciples, to his people, and to the prophetic word he has been given, some of which we heard last week. One who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Where, John must have been wondering, where was the Holy Spirit and the fire? Did I get it wrong? Did I prepare the way for the wrong one? Have I, in fact, gotten everything wrong? And so he sends his disciples out to ask in plain, simple language, are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? Just tell me. And Jesus sends John's disciples back not with an answer, answers not really being Jesus' style, but with instructions to tell John what they hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. These are all signs of the Messiah, promised by the prophets throughout the ages. But they are not all of the signs of the Messiah. Jesus notably leaves out setting the captives free, for instance, a sign John in prison may have been particularly interested in. And he leaves out tumbling the mighty from their thrones and lifting up the lowly, activities that Jesus' own mother included in her prophetic song of God's promises fulfilled, which we said together a few minutes ago. So John will have to decide for himself whether Jesus' ministry measures up to that of the Messiah, or if he is going to wait for another. Will John be able to recognize the kingdom of heaven when it comes to him, even if it doesn't look exactly like he imagined it? Or will he be unable to see the truth of his own proclamation because he can't see past his own expectations, his own vision of the future of the kingdom? Which brings me to an interesting contrast between John's proclamation and Mary's. John's is in the future tense, while Mary's is in the past. Even though her song is sung before Jesus is even born, and even though there is plenty of evidence then as now that lots of hungry people went unfed, that lots of mighty people continued to sit comfortably on their thrones, and that lots of lowly people were left where they were found. But then, as now, there are also hungry people who have been fed and are being fed. There are mighty people who have been cast down and who are being cast down. There are lowly people who have been raised up and who are being raised up. Perhaps Mary's encounter with the Holy Spirit, her call, her experience of enfleshing the Word of God, opened her eyes to this truth, to this prophetic word, helping her to see the kingdom of heaven even in the context of occupation and uncertainty, even if it doesn't look entirely like Mary might have imagined. Mary's song proclaims that God's faithfulness is not simply a future reality to be prepared for, but a current one to be participated in. So, which of these faithful people are you this morning? Are you John, filled with passion and vision, hoping for the promises to be fulfilled once and for all, staying alert and ready, eyes on the horizon and heart set on your responsibility to prepare the way, impatient with the imperfect and the incomplete and the unjust? Or are you Mary, as she carries the Christ child within her, nourishing and protecting and strengthening him? Mary, blessed by God's favor to see the world with eyes open to God's faithfulness and the dignity of the poor and the frailty of the powerful, able to see the kingdom of heaven, that place of peace and justice, truth and beauty, love and faith, rising up even in the midst of suffering, revealed by uncertainty and questions, shining out from people who are the most difficult to love, and strengthened by our stumbling attempts. The truth is that the season of Advent calls us to be both, to wait with John and to sing with Mary, to watch for the future and refuse to settle for less than the kingdom, and to bear witness to what God is doing now, to the beauty and power and hope that springs up all around us. The answer is not either or. It is not an all or nothing proposition. It is much more complicated than that. The kingdom is here and it is not yet accomplished. We wait with eager anticipation for one who has already come. We live now in a world that is not yet complete, creatures still being created, but charged with a sacred calling. Go and tell what you hear and see.